Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Double Indemnity, the podcast. I'm Emily Glazer.
I'm Jonathan Pyle.
And here on Double Indemnity, we just talk about movies. That's pretty much it. If you like talking about movies, stick around. We have a good time.
We kind of know what we're talking about.
We slightly know what we're talking about. Jonathan,
Emily, I'm not so sure about.
Jonathan's a cinephile, as he likes to call himself. If you know what that is, good for you. If not, I thought it sounds comparable to a pedophile, and I don't know why anybody would want to call themselves a cinephile.
There are plenty of words that end in vile.
Okay, name another one that's not pedophile.
Give me a second, because I have heard of them. I will think of it later.
Okay. He's going to just scream it out randomly throughout the podcast. We're going to circle back.
Yeah.
Full circle moment. It's going to happen. But right now we're doing a Oscar series on the podcast. So we are basically going through all the movies that got nominated for Best Picture. We wanted to talk about them on the podcast before the Oscar ceremony in March. It's in March,
12th.
Right? March 12th? Oh, that's actually really soon. Are we going to be able to get through all the movies by then?
Probably not.
Ah, we'll do our best. Well, this week we're covering...
We might,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, also just for fun, Z's. I don't know why it was so hard for me to say that. I had like a little mini stroke there.
I love having those.
I wanted everybody to know we do have a Letterboxd. If you want to follow us on Letterboxd, it's linked in the description, DI_podcast. And we post the movies that we're going to talk about on there. And if people want to, they can leave comments or things that they felt or thought about the movie. And maybe one day somebody will.
That I will be so.
But I'm going to check it right now and see if anybody did for Tar.
Did you turn notifications on? Because if you did, then you.
No comments.
Nice.
It's fine. I'm happy with our relevance. It's nice.
Or you
it's
can
nice.
Follow my account.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan's going to plug his own Letterboxd.
Jonathan Pilot 35, which is much more established account than our podcast one.
Well, Jonathan loves Letterboxd. If you've never used it before, it's like an app where you can track the movies you watch and leave reviews and you follow your friends and see what movies they watch. It's fun. I don't do it, but we live together. So any movie that I ever watch, Jonathan would just log. So it's already logged in the universe. It's out there. It's taken care of. Why would I do it if someone else is doing it for me?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
I'm drinking tea, so if you hear slurping sounds, that's what it is. Okay, so what movie are we talking about today, Jonathan, in our Oscar series? So just for context, we've already done... what movies have we already done that are nominated for Best
Triangle
Picture?
Of
Triangle
Sadness.
Of Sadness. Fantastic. We're plugging ourselves right now. So go watch these or listen to these other podcasts where we already talked about these movies. But we did Triangle of Sadness. You know what? I'm just going to pull up our list
well,
of movies.
Well, some of the movies we've watched haven't been nominated for Best Picture. And some we
well,
probably
we just
won't
like,
have time to
accidentally
talk about.
Already watched them. But so we did Triangle of Sadness. We've done Banshees of Inisherin and Tar. I think those are the only ones we've already watched.
We probably won't be able to get through
all of
them.
Yeah.
But
if we have the time, we might do a bonus episode to get to one. But I mean, what else was Top Gun Maverick? We didn't talk about it on the podcast, though.
Well, yeah, but we've seen it.
We'll get to it eventually. What's really nice, though, about the Oscar series is that Jonathan and I always are so ill prepared to film the podcast. And we always sit down and we don't know what movie we want to watch for next week. So at least this time we can pick from a very concise list of movies to watch for the Oscars. So Jonathan, would you like to present the movie of the week?
Oh yeah, I think you already said it. It's Tar.
Oh, LOL. We're watching Tar. We already watched Tar. We're going to talk about Tar.
Tar. Directed by Todd Field. Not Tar and Feathers, as one would assume.
I don't understand.
You know, like back in like the Revolutionary War, like to get information out of people. This is very dark. I don't know why I'm going off.
This is such a tangent. I don't understand.
They would like cover people in tar and feathers.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what was your reference? Oh, I get it. I thought it had something to do with the director. That's what I thought you meant.
No.
Okay,
no.
Carry on.
Directed by Todd Field, his first film in 16 years, and he's only done about like two or three other movies, and I have not seen any of them. So this is starring Cate Blanchett, Mark Strong, Nina Hoss, and Naomi Merlant.
Merlant.
She's
maybe
French.
Merlant. I don't speak French. I never took French, but I'm gonna guess Merlant.
I don't speak French either.
I don't know.
I don't
I'm sorry
so.
If I butchered it. If you speak French, I apologize, and I'm not pretending like I know how to say it because I don't. So.
I first saw her in, or she first got critical acclaim in the 2019 movie Portrait of a Lady on Fire. which is a fantastic
assistant?
Movie.
Was it The Assistant? The actress you're talking about?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I was like, you've seen that movie?
I've never seen A Portrait of a Lady on Fire. All I've heard is that it's boring.
You would not like it. You would think it was boring.
I'm not surprised. Sure. It doesn't take much for me to think a movie is boring.
No. Anyways.
Moving on.
The synopsis. Centered in an international world of music, this movie centers on Lydia Tarr, one of the greatest composers, conductors of the 21st century.
We're going to give our ratings?
Sure.
Out of 5 stars, what do you give it?
I'd give it a solid 4. At first, I was like, this is a 3.5. And then, like the last hour or so, I upped it to a 4.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I would give it a 3.5. Solid 3.5.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I would say it was good, but it dragged and it annoyed me, which I think was inherent with the character. Like, you're supposed to not really like her.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's why I was annoyed like the whole time I was watching it. But also, maybe that was what they wanted. So I guess it was maybe intentional, but I thought it was okay. I mean, I thought it was well made, well acted. Like, everything was well done. It just wasn't, like, my kind of movie.
True,
you know what I mean?
True.
Like, I'm not going to come swooning out of it. I can come out of it respecting it for what it was.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's what I would say, how I feel about it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it's definitely Best Picture worthy.
I agree it's Best Picture worthy. But I don't think it should win.
Me either.
Like, I think there was better stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about the Oscars, which kind of sucks. Like, it just depends on what year you release your movie and, like, who the competition is, you know? Obviously, you know, like, they might have... There were years, like, you know, you said Crash won or something?
Yeah.
Crash won for Best Picture, and everybody was like, that's ridiculous. But I'm assuming there just wasn't a lot of good competition that year, you know?
Yeah, maybe there wasn't. That's true.
I thought it was worthy of a nomination. I don't think it's worthy of a win for Best Picture.
Do you think it's worthy of a win in anything it got nominated for?
I don't remember what all it got nominated for.
Cinematography, director, picture, and...
Picture? Oh, Best Picture.
I'm blanking on the other things.
I think directing would deserve it if
it
won.
Me too.
I don't remember who it was up against for cinematography.
Empire of Light, All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, All Quiet
Elvis.
Should win. Yes. Or Elvis. I don't think it would deserve cinematography up against that competition, but I do think it had very good cinematography. And we were talking about this in our Oscar reactions episode that we did. I feel like the cinematography in Tar was very reminiscent of, like, her character. Like, it was very clean cut and straight, a little unusual, but very, like, it was like, I don't know how to explain it. Like,
it was
sharp.
It was sharp. It
her
evoked
essence.
Her emotions.
Yes. And the color was perfect. It was very beige.
Color grading.
Very muted. It was very her character, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The color was fantastic in that as well.
Yeah, we'll talk
about,
I
don't know if that,
like,
counts as cinematography.
Of course it does. Yeah,
color,
does.
Cinematography.
Color grading.
Yeah. I didn't know if that would be, like, its own thing.
Oh.
I think they hire, like, don't they hire special people to do color on movies? So I don't know if that's really cinematography. I think cinematography was more like how you set up the picture, whereas color you do in post.
I guess... I think it all kind of gets blended together, but I guess the Oscar for it is to the cinematographer.
For
themselves.
Color? So color is considered in a cinematography nomination?
I don't know.
Don't think that they go together.
I think they do, but not in a way.
I honestly have no idea. I'm just saying it would be weird to me, but I have no idea what it entails to be a cinematographer. Okay, so I will say... With this movie, we watched it like over a week ago.
And in two separate...
in two separate sessions.
Almost three separate sessions.
So first off, this is the most expensive movie I've ever rented on Amazon. It was $6 to rent it, which is like redonkulous.
It just came out though.
Which is funny though, because if I went to like a Blockbuster and I was renting a movie, I would be like, $6? What a steal.
I know,
you
right?
know? Like, cause you're going to walk home with it in your hands. But for some reason, if it's more than what, like, what is it normally? Like $3.99 or something on Amazon Prime? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like...
It's so new.
Yeah, I guess because it was a new movie and maybe they knew it was going to be an Oscar nomination. So they like upcharged it, but...
Well, yeah, they definitely upcharged it because it was...
The Oscars, yeah.
I think so.
But so we bought it to watch it. And then we let it expire before we finished it. So we were like going to like, we had some social event or something we were going to. And so we were like trying to speed finish it and we didn't. Mm-hmm. And then so we had to pay $6 again. So we basically paid like a lot of money to that movie, if you know what I mean. But maybe that means the movie was too long. If you have to watch a movie in two settings, what does that say about the movie? That's all I gotta say.
You don't like long movies. I do.
I like don't love long movies. I just don't think my attention span is that long. Like, yeah. I'm not like all over the... Maybe I am, actually. Never mind. I'm not gonna speak to that. Yeah. But I thought it was really funny how useless we are while we were watching the movie. And I feel like Tara would have hated us. Like, if she was a real person, that character,
mm-hmm.
and she knew that, like, if we were reading her book or something, we stopped reading it because we were bored.
Yes.
And we came back to, like, a year later. She'd be like, excuse me? How could you not be wowed by my exquisiteness? You know?
And then insult us and degrade us.
Yeah, exactly. Literally. Make us feel like trash. So
all good artists do.
But going off of that. Okay. Going off of that. I do not remember anything that I wrote in my notes because we watched it like a week and a half ago.
I remember.
So I will remember it when I read it, but I'm going to I'm flying blind, y'all. This is like reading somebody else's notes is what it feels like. So, Jonathan, would you like to start with some of the comments you had?
Yeah, for sure. I have not seen all the female performances this year, but I think Kate Blanchett should win. Out of the performances
actress?
I've seen,
best actress.
Yes. Just the way she can deliver lines.
We just need to acknowledge how epic her monologues were. She had extreme one-take monologues throughout the whole movie. There was not a lot of editing in her monologues, and she did fantastic. Like, I can't even.
Yeah.
It was glorious how well she monologued. Now, if you see her in real life, she kind of talks the same way. I mean, the role was written for her, so obviously the director knew that it would be, you know, her nature to be able to do those kinds of monologues well.
It was written for her specifically?
Yeah, you didn't hear that?
No.
The director wrote the script, with the intention of her doing it. Yeah. So.
Yeah, she delivers her lines.
I don't think he would have wanted to do it without her.
So effortlessly. It's so natural and...
Her monologues were honestly, I mean, amazing. If she won Best Actress, I think she would deserve it.
Even though she's already won like twice, I don't care.
She's already won twice for Best Actress.
I might have. She
wait.
Won
what
for
else has she won it for?
Blue Jasmine. And
yeah, that is.
I don't know what that is. Not important.
I'm just gonna tell you the truth. I don't know.
And I'm blanking on the other thing. Maybe she just got nominated for it, but I think this is her third win.
Look it up. Let's see how many Oscars she has.
Yeah.
She's well-renowned.
But I also would love if Michelle Yeoh got an Oscar, too, because
from
representation.
E-A-A-O.
And she's an icon. She is one, too. Yeah, for Carol. Wait, no. I'm blanking.
Were those nominations?
Okay, so she has a win for supporting role for The Aviator. And then a lead actress for Blue Jasmine.
Okay, so she has two.
Yeah.
So this would be a third for her, but I don't think anybody should win an Oscar or shouldn't win an Oscar because they have already. Do you know what I mean?
Like Meryl Streep.
Like, if their performance is the best, they deserve an Oscar. It just does get a little annoying. Like, yeah, you are the best. Like, Steven Spielberg. Like, we get it. We get it. You're amazing. Like, you do a fantastic job. Keep doing what you do. But it is exciting to recognize other people. But I would bother me if they didn't give people Oscars just because they already had Oscars, you know?
Yes, me too.
So
that would bother me too.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Let's see the first comment I wrote because I don't remember. Her assistant thinks she's pretentious for sure. Second comment. Felt pretentious. Okay, yeah. Like, I was really confused at the beginning of the movie when the, like, it was like a video. So that the girl was taking on her phone, like sharing of like, oh, this boss is like, my boss is so annoying or something. I thought it was really creepy. It didn't make sense. Like, I get that it was like trying to be like an artistic gesture to like, oh, it starts with like somebody recording the room and like texting. But like, I just thought it was confusing. You know what I mean? I don't think
opening.
They should have started it that way. That was the only part I didn't think was like well done.
Yeah, it didn't really grab I guess it had my attention, but I didn't think it had a big impact, like a lasting impact on the film itself.
Yeah, the only lasting impact it had for me was that I didn't like it. So, telling the truth.
I want to say the scene in the beginning with their students just in that classroom.
No, let's start with the scene before that. Let's start with the scene where she's just getting interviewed on the stage.
Let's start with that.
How did you feel about that scene?
I liked most of it. I kind of got bored a little bit, like in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Which just could have been my mood at the time.
Honestly, if you don't mind if I interject you, I think that was on purpose. I think they wanted you to watch her spew random crap and prove how much she knows and set up her character for her personality, how she speaks to other people in a belittling way, and how she knows everything there is to know about every symphony. She's name dropping random people.
Yeah.
Like, she knows all of the music history, and it's literally boring, but she is so full of herself that she doesn't know. You know what I mean? And people still worshiped her watching it. I think getting bored isn't like what they were going for, but I think it's also a sign that they succeeded with setting up her character. Like, I think if you get bored, it's like, yeah, that's a win. That's exactly, you know what I mean? Like, what it should be. I don't know. I thought that that was genius almost. I was bored. Like, I didn't listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, I got like confused in a couple of her sentences, and then all the references she made, I really did not understand a lot of that at all.
Yeah. So like
you might have though.
I play in symphony and I know music, but I've never been like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I was serious about it. I did auditions and like I've always played with the symphony pretty much my whole life, but I've never been extremely competitive about becoming like super knowledgeable on music history and stuff like that. So like, I'm not well educated on it, but I understand references. So like, I picked up things and like, obviously I know like references to like music terms, like legato or staccato or like adagio, you know what I mean?
Adagio.
Or crescendo, adagio. So like, I understood her references, and I don't know if it made it any easier for me to understand the movie and like what was happening. I honestly have no idea if that made an impact on it, but I thought that it was, I was pretty proud of myself for knowing those things, because I don't think of it as like being interesting that I know those things, but it's cool when you know something, but you're like, I know what that is.
Yeah, I feel like, that's why I feel like I had a feeling that you would be more like excited to like get references in this movie.
Yes,
I knew it would
I did think it was cool when I recognized things, but also it's not that cool because it's not that much of a niche. A lot of people
that's true
play instruments and no music references, you know. So I'm not that special, but it did make me feel like, oh my god, I know what that is, you know.
That interview scene reminded me of in the newsroom. Where like Jeff Daniels is going off about how America isn't the greatest country in the world anymore. Have you seen that scene?
No.
It's a fantastic scene.
No, I never seen that.
It kind of reminded me of that. Also, the scene before that where she was in a restaurant with
Mentor guy?
Mark Strong. Not the mentor.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
She was at a restaurant with a guy who was like basically trying to make her a mentor for him, and she didn't want that. He was like, how do you conduct like this? Like, how do you do that? And she's like, get your, like, she felt like he was trying to copy her, you know, and trying to get all her secrets.
Yeah.
What did you want to say about that scene?
Honestly, I was just kind of bored in that scene. I didn't really know what was going on.
I thought it was boring too. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the scene in Tenet where they go and they have lunch with the fancy guy.
Oh.
I don't know his name, but like
Michael Caine.
When they went and they had lunch with him or whatever, or dinner, I don't remember what it was. And he was like, it was like so much information just poured on you during that scene in Tenet. And
I
it was
get
like,
what you're saying.
If you miss that scene, you don't know what's going on. I mean, if you miss like 30 seconds of Tenet, you won't know what's going on. Or you just don't know what's going on no matter what, because it makes no sense. But moving on.
It makes sense.
That reminded me of that scene. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
So I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I got a fancy table with like a fancy guy.
Fancy guys.
Yeah.
Fancy people.
British people. Oh, well, I don't know.
German British people. Anyway, the scene with the student.
Yeah, let's talk about the student scene. It was so like, politically correct and not at the same time. It was like such an interesting combination, you know? It must have been very hard to write.
I know, it's like they were supporting cancel culture and
being against it at the same time. Yeah, it was very unusual. And she was like such a a modern woman, you know what I mean? But then she also was like standing up for like values that are considered like outdated. Do you know what I mean? And like she was standing up for like Bach, even though he was like a terrible, terrible person, because he's like such an important figure in like music history.
Yeah. And
everybody knows Bach music. Like if you don't know, like if you hear Bach and you don't know his name, like obviously that makes sense, but like everybody's heard a song or something written by Bach. You know what I mean? Like he's very iconic in music history. I honestly, like when I was like listening to that scene, I didn't understand anything that she was saying. Like it made no sense to me. And then when she would ask the students questions and they would all just be like, you know what I mean?
Pretty intimidating woman.
She was very intimidating, and it like made me relieved that I didn't study music, because it's really cutthroat. I don't know if it's that cutthroat. I also never went to Juilliard, but I just feel like I would not have been able to handle how brutal it would have been, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and then she just like, yeah, it was weird. She was like modern, but not at the same time, because that student was like the student that she was like belittling, the one who kept like shaking his knee like this.
Yeah, I guess I was trying to show that he was uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and he was nervous.
Which, I mean, makes sense.
Yeah, because she was kind of attacking him.
She was saying that he shouldn't just like a composer just because they're like female or they're like a different race.
Yeah.
And not just like a white composer that is like widely known. And that was his point. She just kind of just disproved it. The best composer is the best one. It shouldn't matter what race they are or what like ethnicity they are.
So you feel like they were proving the same point?
No, they were proving the opposite.
I thought he was trying to say that he doesn't want to support composers that were crappy people.
Crappy people and were mainly from a white background.
Well, I feel like he was just saying you shouldn't support people who are crappy people. And she was saying you shouldn't judge someone's music by like who they were as a person, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it was that too.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I agree with her, because like, what if Bach had been like a serial like murderer or something?
Oh yeah, true. Like, I mean,
maybe we shouldn't support him. But the thing is, like, I feel like most, like, in music history, like most of the composers who are considered geniuses were like really weird people in real life. I think to be a genius, it takes a lot to like dedicate like the most important thing to you is your work. Like you have to be.
Yeah,
like I feel like slightly disconnected from society and yourself to like be a true genius, you know,
which really goes to show like this just reminded me of movies of chasing that like obsession, like Whiplash and like Black Swan.
They never end well. Blood.
Yeah, it's all
didn't end well for her either.
Self-destructive tales of
trying to reach perfection, but yeah, but when you can never like when you're like goal and endpoint for perfection is unattainable, like because they always want to be reaching for more and more. Like I think that's what their downfall ends up being.
Just sets them up for failure in the
beginning. Yeah, I think it does. But I thought that scene was fantastic. Her monologues were great, and it was very like it made you really think and like contemplate what you were listening to, and like every word she said, I was like really trying hard to listen to, because it's kind of hard to understand the things that she was saying the whole time.
Yeah, I agree. The blocking in that scene is so good. Like the blocking, way the camera moves. In
it terms was like
of
a one take.
Actors
it was fantastic.
Are in the area was like sublime.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
So wait, I just have a question, like in general about her character. So she was a drug addict. Did she take muscle relaxers?
Yeah, that was her girlfriend's or fiance's. I don't remember.
I don't remember if they were married or what. Remember. I just know they were partners.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she would take her partner's pills.
Yeah, I thought that was.
That was very weird. I thought that was unusual. I guess because she just like she was like so obsessed with her craft. She didn't care what her body was like, if it was failing or what she was feeling. Probably she not. Just ignored it and hit it with like medication, I guess. Yeah. So I was like confused by like the book on the plane and like her throwing it away. I feel like they should have given more context. Like that was one of those things. So like, don't look it up because it's in trivia.
I already
trivia.
Looked it up. Oh, it is in trivia? Oh.
There's, I think I wrote a trivia question about it. But I was like, I just want to talk about the movie in general, and like, I don't like it when movies put Easter eggs in that like nobody would know. You know what I mean? Like, the Easter egg of that was like, you had to know what the book was about for it to make sense.
And what that book like meant to her, I guess.
Yeah, and how it's like how it would upset her. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't even remember who gave it to her or why. Like, at that point in the movie, I think they didn't do a good job setting it up, because I was really confused for like the first 45 minutes of the movie. Like, what was happening and who was who and
it took
why,
a get
what,
used
why
to
they were why.
Getting used to the pace of the movie and how they transitioned from one scene to the next.
Yeah, I thought it could have been better, honestly.
That means official review. I thought it could have been better,
honestly. I thought it could have been better, honestly. Yeah. Okay, so I was wondering, so the scene where where the cellist is introduced, right, in the bathroom,
yes.
The public restroom. So did she like go in the bathroom on purpose so that she could see her and like see her shoes and so that she would know who she was when she did audition?
The blind audition.
Which I was really proud that I knew what that was. But like,
no,
you wouldn't have
was.
Known what that was watching it. Like, why couldn't they just like say in a comment like, time to do the blind auditions, you know, so that people would know who weren't watching? But like, I had to explain to Jonathan like what a blind audition is. And if you don't know, it's like in symphony, when you do auditions for like seating or to join an orchestra or something, I don't think it's normally for joining. It's usually for like seating auditions. I've only ever done them. But they will have all of the players come in, and either the judges will be like facing the other way so they can't see you, or they'll put like a sheet up so that they can't see you. And it's because they want to be able to judge you just based off what your music sounds like. And it eliminates any potential bias, which I absolutely love. Like, I thought it was fantastic.
Me too.
'Cause I mean, maybe that person like knows you, you know, or maybe they just have like underlying biases about certain types of people and they're going to judge them, you know? So I always loved blind auditions. And then it also makes it less nerve wracking because you can't see them. You can kind of like, even though not really, but you can kind of pretend that there's nobody there.
Pretend there's nobody there.
Yeah.
Nobody watching you.
Not really, but I vividly remember some of my blind auditions.
Really?
Because, I mean, it's really nerve-wracking.
I bet it is.
But I vividly remember them, yeah. And I had one, right? It's just that it's like drilled. Like, I have one that is drilled in my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was good. It ended up well.
I think I'm glad. I guess I'm glad I didn't. You told me what it was, but I'm glad they didn't outright say it in the movie. I don't feel like.
I guess you don't like it when they set up stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like show, don't tell. You know what I mean? It's very. Like,
yes, but you would have had no idea what was going on otherwise.
That's true, but
like,
maybe.
What did you think it was?
I have no idea, but maybe I would have come to the conclusion on my own. Maybe not. Like to think I would have.
LOL. Oh my gosh. Okay. Did she actually make people like grant favors for her?
I think Krista Taylor. Yeah, I think so.
Krista Taylor. Yes, the girl who killed herself. Yeah.
I mean, she's having those flashbacks and dreams, which I guess may not have been true, but.
It could have also just been tormenting her too, if it wasn't. And I guess it's kind of good that they didn't tell you if it was true or not.
Yeah.
But something that I noticed about all of the scenes of the Krista Taylor woman that I thought was very well intentionally done was that every time they showed a flashback to her, like something or Tar was thinking about her, it was always with her hair and her face, or you couldn't see her face. And I thought that was genius because it sets it up that she could be any woman. You know, it doesn't just have to be that Krista Taylor girl. It could have happened to like 50 girls, you know, like this Tar, like abusing them or like abusing her power.
I agree. Like the first shot, I think it's like one of the first shots in the movie is just Lydia composing. And then a woman with red hair, like sitting in the audience, and it just shows her hair in the audience. And at first I was like,
I don't remember that scene.
What's the importance of this? And then. After the movie, I was like, that makes a lot more sense now.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't even notice that. That's really smart.
Yeah, and I feel like this movie is, it's like a drama slash like ghost story almost.
Slash ghost story?
Yeah, I feel like there's so many scenes that are open to interpretation.
Wait, Why? What do you mean? Like, what was the ghost? What was the paranormal
like
activity?
The whole scene with the dog and...
There was a dog?
With the dog in the hallway, and that's when she trips and, like, falls flat on her face.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that whole scene was just, like, out of, like, a suspense movie. And then...
No, I felt like that was, like, showing her obsession with chasing, like, something that, like... wasn't good for her, was bad for her life, was bad for her family, into like the pits of despair, you know?
Yeah.
Into like this really scary, really gross place, you know? And then she realizes it and she tries to escape, and instead she just falls flat on her face.
Yeah, that's
and then
sound.
She lies to everybody about her failure. I thought it was very symbolic of her like chasing that girl.
No, yeah, I agree.
And the girl was gone. Also, where the heck did the girl live? Like, that was really sketchy.
Did the girl exist in the first place?
True. Where did she go?
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, Tar had a really nice car.
Yeah, nice Tesla.
Yeah, she had a super nice... It was a Porsche.
It was a Porsche, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it was a Porsche. It just seemed like a Tesla because it had that, like, monitor thing that, like, Teslas have.
Dashboard. Monitor dashboard. And her house was, like...
Her house?
Really
okay.
cool looking, but I wouldn't want that kind of house.
I don't like the cement walls. I feel like I'd be cold all the time.
Like a, it kind of looks like a prison. You know?
But it was fancy, and I think they were just trying to show you, damn, she makes a lot of money.
Yeah, she makes a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love that for women.
And literally, when she went to America and she brought the cellist with her, I was like, are you redonkulously stupid? Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
She was like asking to get in trouble. She was already had all this controversy starting to flare up. And then she brings this girl with her. Like, it's literally like she's trying to prove everybody right. Like,
self-destructive behavior.
She thought that she was a god, you know, and that nobody could touch her. And she literally was like,
they always fall the hardest.
Yeah. She fell hard, literally on her face. And then she lied to her family about it. It was crazy. And like, even though she's such a crap person, like her family and everybody in her life, her kid still, like, at the end was like, you're such a beautiful person. Like, you're the most beautiful person I know.
That's right. I forgot
about
that.
And that's just the thing. Like, kids are so sweet, you know? Like, she just loves her mom for being her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Or father, because she introduced herself as her father.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, and I thought it was so funny how when they did go to America, the girl, like, lied about being jet lagged just so she didn't have to hang out with her. And she could go do other stuff.
Right.
Yeah, when they were in America. Which I'm like, that girl's kind of like a biatch. She's going to like take a free private jet plane with like her boss and then be like, I'm going to lie about being jet lagged.
I mean, she did not seem
like
a great boss.
Like, she was capitalizing on the opportunity of like getting to go to America. And oh, how Tar literally twisted the entire symphony and the audition system and screwed over her first cellist just so she could get that girl the freaking like solo.
Yeah, that was
like, I think
pretty
that
toxic.
It was very toxic, and she thought she could get away with it. And she was like, oh yeah, like when the girl, like maybe she thought that the girl would like, I guess then like she could hold that over her for like favors, you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, true, because in the past that probably happened.
Yeah. But I thought it was interesting how Tar was like the biggest gaslighter I have ever seen. Like, she gaslit everybody in her life.
Bigger than Harry Styles.
Infuriating. What do you mean?
And Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh, yeah. And Don't Worry, Darling. He was pretty good at it. He gaslit us.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, the audience. I mean, we believed it.
I just love when you go into a movie and it feels like a movie. Sorry.
What are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm quoting Harry Styles at the film festival.
He's probably just nervous. I didn't know he said that. Maybe he meant to say it feels like you're in the movie.
He didn't mean to say
I
that.
I know.
There's a shot of like Chris Pine's face just like as he's talking. It's hilarious. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
No hate on Harry Styles.
So
love him, honestly.
I thought it was really interesting when her... Let's talk about her downfall, okay? I thought it was so interesting when she, like, the apartment next door to her was for sale because her neighbor died. And she was like, the people came over and like, can you please stop playing your music all the time so that we can sell this apartment? And she was like, oh, it is a gift that I play music for you and that you get to hear me playing music. And I was like, if I did not choose to listen to something, I do not want to listen to it. Do you know what I mean? I don't care how beautiful it is. I don't care how glamorous or how professional you are. Like, if you were playing music in the room next to me, I don't want to hear it. You know? I just, like, it's so infuriating how, like, she is so sucked up into her own world that she doesn't even think her neighbors would worship her playing the piano.
Yeah, no.
Like, it was ridiculous.
made sense for her character.
Yeah, it did make perfect sense for her character. And, like, her downfall was just, like, she just, like, pretended like nobody would care. Like, it would be fine. Like, it wasn't a big deal. Just
untouchable.
Yeah, that she was untouchable. And, like, how stupid is she that she's like, oh, yeah, just delete, like, all the emails I have from this girl. Like, that's not how the internet works. Like, the emails are still out there.
You can't,
like,
get it down from the cloud? It's in the cloud. You can't get it out.
What is that from?
It's from Sex Tape, that terrible movie with Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel.
I've never seen that.
It's a terrible movie, but the quote's funny. It's in the cloud? You can't. Nobody knows the cloud?
That's true, though. Once it's in the cloud, you can't get it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. I'm yawning. Yeah, and I thought it was so crazy that, like, Tar, like, blacklisted this girl, right? She made Krista, like, utter trash in the eyes of the symphony world. You know what I mean? She destroyed her, which you don't know why she destroyed her, so I'm curious. And then she ended up in the exact same place as her, like, playing with a random youth orchestra.
Maybe not the exact same place.
No, she didn't end up in the exact... Stop it. You know what I mean? She literally, like, ended up playing with a youth orchestra in the middle of, like, nowhere for a cosplay. Like, that was, like, the final, like, nail in the hammer. It wasn't just, like, the kid's parents. It was literally, like, cosplay. Like, she fell hard, you know?
That scene... So much of that scene seems like... Like, the fact when she goes to, like, the brothel and she picks number 5, which is the same number as her symphony, like, Mahler's number 5.
That's so smart.
It was like, it's a little dreamlike. And, like, some of it is like, is this actually happening, or is this...
I didn't think about that, how it was Mahler's 5th.
Yeah. I thought of that.
We should listen to it. I've never been a big fan of Mahler. I'm a Beethoven girl, I'm not gonna lie.
I like Don Toliver.
I don't know who that is.
It's a rapper. Sorry, it's a bad joke. but yeah, I thought that was a very interesting note.
Yeah.
And then she's the only one that, like, opens her eyes and looks at her. All that was very dreamlike, and then she goes and throws up.
You're right, it didn't feel real.
Actually. And then that whole final scene didn't feel like it was, like, actually happening. I don't know, just my take.
Well, maybe that's what it was supposed to feel like. Like, it didn't even feel real to her. Like, it was like, is this even happening to me? You know what I mean?
Like, I've so maybe she couldn't even fathom it. So fathom far it. Off where I've been from.
That. And yeah, there's nothing else that she can do. All she can do is conduct.
Yeah. And that's...
And she lost her family.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful.
Really lost sad. Everything. And mm-hmm. But I did, like, think it was interesting how vastly the environment's changed from this, like, cold, like, sleek city to this, like... I'm blanking on what country she was. She was in the Philippines.
They were speaking Tagalog.
Philippines, yeah.
The Philippines, yeah.
And then back to, like, this almost, not exactly third world, but almost third world country, like, Asian country.
Mm-hmm.
And just the change in environments was so, like, stark and contrasted. I thought it was
interesting. True, that's true. Because she was very into, like, the sleek city life.
Mm-hmm.
And
but she
also,
didn't seem,
I just want to say, she took a private jet from Europe to America. Yeah. How much does that cost? Look it up. I want to know.
Well,
how
it depends
much does it
on
cost
the
to
jet.
Take a private jet
depends
from Europe
kind of
to America?
Fuel.
Hourly rates range from $11,000 to $20,000 based on the provider and specific aircraft types. So that means, like, for, like, a 9-hour flight, that's like a $100,000 flight. If you go cheap. Like, don't, like, famous people, like the Kardashians and stuff, like, there's no way they fly commercial.
No,
so
no,
when
yeah.
they go to Europe, they spend $100,000 just on the airline tickets?
Probably. Well, they probably own a private jet and then pay a pilot with the fuel and stuff.
Isn't that more expensive to own a private jet?
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I guess it would. Maybe. I don't know. That's crazy. It just blows my mind, like, how much, like, we're not rich people. So, like, to me, like, that much money.
I know.
Is like
unfathomable.
It's unfathomable to just throw away on like one thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy how different people perceive money.
And Lydia treated money just like as a tool, pretty much.
Yeah, and she did.
Yeah. When before her like eventual downfall, when she is the final like symphony and she's like preparing to go in, and you think that's because, at least I kind of thought it was because she was performing it, and she just barges on stage and the camera.
Yeah, I thought she was going to perform it too, and I was like, that's so weird that he's playing that without her conducting it.
And then the camera automatically becomes shaky, and it like perfectly represents like her like mood at the moment. It went from like steady cam to like handheld.
Steady cam.
Steady cam.
Yeah.
Feel like big fancy words out there.
That's actually so true. I love it when they do that. I didn't even think about that. Now I want to watch the scene again, but I loved that scene. It was fantastic. It was really good. And it's so interesting to me the way she conducted, like it made no sense. You know what I mean? Like the way that conduct, we were talking about this, like the way that conductors who are like really professional conduct is like just like mood and like feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas like normal like conductors who teach like youth orchestras and stuff, they usually have to conduct in time because the students are still learning how to like just follow a conductor who's doing it in time. And then when you get to the professional orchestras, it's crazy. Like the way that the conductors, it's really cool. It's really cool.
They look cool.
Like when you watch conductors, like sometimes I'll watch them and I'll be like, I don't even know what they're doing right now. Like, I don't know how people are following them right now.
It doesn't even make sense to me, the movements. And hers were so like erratic and grand. And
yeah, it was like you had to almost like predict it. And like, does she play music? Because her conducting, she really seemed like a serious conductor. Like, she seemed like she knew what she was doing.
I bet she did for, like, she practiced for this.
I mean, I bet you it was choreographed, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was probably just choreographed. Because I was like, how did she, like, know how to conduct like that? But, you know, it's because she had a team of people being paid to show her how to do it. So, I guess that makes sense. But, do you want to get into trivia?
Yeah.
Let's do trivia. So I also wrote this trivia like over a week ago, so I don't remember what I wrote. So it's going to be new for both of us. So hope you guys are excited for trivia time. Trivia question number one.
Oh, no.
What was the movie Marlon Brando filmed in the Philippines that introduced crocodiles to the environment?
Didn't I guess this wrong or something when we were, because you asked me this before, right?
No, we were watching the movie and you're like, oh, I think that's real. And it was.
Apocalypse Now?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Apocalypse Now. Okay. Yeah. I was like, whoa. I love it when they throw random stuff in there. Yeah, in Wolf of Wall Street, I loved how the helicopter explosion was real. Like how when they got rescued from the yacht that was about to sink and then they saw a helicopter explode outside.
That was a plane.
Or a plane that they sent to save them. Like that actually exploded in real life, didn't it?
Yeah.
That's awful.
It's crazy.
People died because of that. Did they ever actually make it and get the money from Sweden? They never showed that.
I don't think so.
Oh, it sucks.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Where is the audio clip of the rattling in Tar's car from? Do you remember how there was rattling in her car and she was like, ugh. And it was showing how like sensitive she is to sound.
Oh, I don't remember that. I don't know. I don't even have a guess.
It was from an actual car crash that Todd Field got into when he heard that Cate Blanchett was booked for 3 years and couldn't do the movie Tar right away.
Wait.
Field got in a car accident when he found out that Cate Blanchett couldn't do Tar when he first asked
That's
her to do
it. That's what's caused the car accident?
And he got in a car accident and his car was like really messed up. And they didn't fix it all the way. Like, it's fixed, but it's still, like, kind of, like, wonky, I guess.
Oh.
And so it still rattles. So he, like, recorded the audio of the rattle and, like, put it in the movie for her car, which
Wait,
I thought
was
funny.
Wait, but was his car accident because he found out Cate Blanchett wouldn't be available
for
the next
3 years?
Yeah, I
think it's when he found out that she couldn't do the movie right away. Because he asked her, and she was, like, booked up for 3 years. And he was like, oh, my God. But I think then she actually ended up being able to do it when she found out. She was like, oh, my God, I'll do it.
Oh,
something along those lines. I don't know. Okay.
Imagine just like, no, Cate Blanchett driving into a tree.
So, how much of the music, or what scenes of the music, is actually performed on set?
60%. I don't know.
60%? All of it.
That's all of it?
Every single thing they shot, they actually shot on set.
I love that.
And they sounded amazing. I love that.
I love that.
I love that for you.
It's originality and authenticity.
It was a really good symphony. I thought that was awesome. That's cool. That they shot it all on set. Okay. What German translation in the movie was inaccurate?
I don't even remember when they spoke German, to be honest. Did they speak German?
Yeah, they spoke German a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, she spoke a bunch of German. Okay, so do you remember the scene when the grandma was like, the child is in its room? And we were both like, it?
We called
the child an it? Do you remember that? So the truth is that child is actually a gender neutral word in Germany. So you kind of just assign it, not Germany, in German. So you kind of just assign it based off the situation. So technically she was saying the child is in her room. But when you translate it to English, it's like you're saying the child is in its room. Like, oh my gosh.
That's really funny, actually.
I remember because both of us, when we were watching, we were like, are you kidding me? She called it an it? That's funny.
That's an interesting fact.
Yeah, I thought it was a good fact. What did the book on the plane signify?
So wasn't that like, I thought I read it somewhere, but it's something related to Krista or something.
No. What I read was just more of a symbolism to the movie. I don't really know what the book was actually about. But so in the book, the main character changes genders. And then...
What's the book called?
I don't remember.
I thought you read it down.
I read the whole book.
For this...
To prepare for the podcast. Yes, exactly. I read the whole thing. The main character in the book switches genders. And then shortly after, Tar switches genders and comes up to a little girl and assaults her, basically, and says, I'm Petra's father.
Probably is more of a father than a mother.
Well, I don't know. You can have two moms.
No, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
But just like her presence.
She had the protector nature that's typically stereotyped to being the father.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she did do that. That was the movie Tar. Overall, I enjoyed it, and I think we definitely had a lot to talk about it.
We did a lot to talk about.
So I think for next week's podcast, we should watch Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's where nominated, right?
That? Yeah. It's got the most nominations.
Yeah. You can have the most nominations and not get Best Picture. LOL. I don't think you can, actually.
No,
usually,
you still can.
Usually, you can have the most nominations but not be nominated for Best Picture. I'm talking about nomination, not like winning. Obviously, they don't have to win.
They are going to, though.
There were just so many good movies this year. Honestly, like every movie that got nominated deserved to be nominated.
That is true.
Well, I would also really like to watch Women Talking, but maybe we can do that next week.
We can watch All Quiet on the Western Front, too. That one's, we know where to watch now.
Okay. We're going to go hang out with our dog. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. In the movie Tar.